everybody. Welcome to Two Guys, Five Movies. This is my co-host, Chris Gasper.
This is Frank Pellicone.
You are listening to episode 113 of The Spin Chagrin, and last week's category was Sometimes You Get the Map, Sometimes You Don't. So, Frankie, you had me a little bit excited. You are always like telling me, like, oh, I got a good one tonight. But for some reason, the way that you said it to me the other day, I don't know, like made it seem a little more legitimate somehow. So I'm kind of excited. What do you got for us for Sometimes You Get the Map and Sometimes You Don't?
So we're going to talk about three movies this evening. And I'm going to work in descending order from the movie I enjoyed the most to the movie I enjoyed the least.
Okay.
I don't know which one we'll spend the most time on. The movie in the middle is one that you and I both watched.
Oh, okay.
So we can like just talk about that, or we can save that till the end. How are you feeling doing?
Yeah, that's fine. Let's do your descending order.
So the first movie I watched was actually the best movie I watched. And this is going to sound ridiculous, but 2019's Dora the Explorer live action movie. If you're familiar with Dora the Explorer, she got a map. So as soon as you said, sometimes you get a map, some whatever the fuck in this, whatever my quote is for this category. And it's actually true here, because sometimes she has the map and sometimes she doesn't. So I expected this to be, I don't even know what I expected this to be. Like, when I saw the commercials for this movie 5 years ago, whatever, I think you and I talked about it, because that was pre-COVID, so we might have even talked about it at the bar, that it just, like, it gave me an uncomfortable feeling.
Yes, I remember
because,
this.
Because, like, it wasn't, like, a child playing Dora. It was, like, definitely an adult playing the character, and the way that they, like, kind of filmed her, it didn't feel like it was necessarily aimed at children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that so let me say this first of all. Yesterday, Frankie and I watched Quiet on the Set. Do you know what this is?
This is the Nickelodeon dude who, like, yeah.
So, one of the most uncomfortable television watching experiences of my life.
Yeah, I can watch people get chopped up all day in documentaries. I can't watch that. Like,
no, it's awful, like, child abuse on every level of child abuse you can imagine. And I don't know if this makes it worse, because it's bad no matter what, but it's horrifying because, like, you know every single one of these kids, right? Especially because, you know, when my son was a preteen slash like young teen, a lot of our time was spent on, you know, weekends and evenings, like, watching Nickelodeon. So we watched all these shows. So anyway, I say that to mean that the creepiness I felt seeing the Dora movie, I think, is somehow reflective in the inherent, and, like, obviously, like, didn't know anything about any of this stuff until recently, because a lot of the stuff had never come out before, like, publicly. But I think that creepiness was kind of, like, carried over. That you just kind of feel like there's an adult fetishizing a child. And try not to think of it that way, because, you know, you're watching, like, a children's show with a, you know, your own child, so you try and have kind of a positive attitude about it. But I think definitely, like, now I can see 1,000 times where it should have just been like, oh my god, like, what are we watching here? Although Nickelodeon, in their defense, well, no, they're pretty terrible. Disney, I feel like, is worse. But anyway, so I say that to say that despite my misgivings with the trailer, this movie is, it has some adult elements to it, in the sense that I think it was trying to appeal to both, like a lot of these movies from Nickelodeon, where it's trying to appeal to both a young and a mature audience, so that you can kind of, like, have parents enjoy it with the kids. But it's really fucking funny. Like, it legitimately made me laugh out loud a number of times. I thought it was a really, on point homage to a show that is literally just like ridiculous if you watch it as an adult.
Right.
In terms of Dora. The premise is that as a child, Dora had all these adventures in the jungle with her parents. Her parents being Michael Peña and Eva Longoria. As she gets older, like, she has her cousin Diego, who's another character in the cartoons. He moves away to the city with his family. She grows up in isolation as this, like, incredibly smart, but, like, really socially stunted, kind of, like, historical genius, kind of, like, just understands everything about, like, nature and history and whatever, the jungle itself. But her parents decide that she needs to grow up around other kids, so they send her to the city to live with Diego and his family. She struggles to fit in because she's considered weird, you know, because she has no real grasp of, like, cultural norms or anything. However, on a field trip with her cousin, who's really mean to her because he's a popular kid and she embarrasses him, this other girl that was, like, the valedictorian of the school before Dora showed up, and Dora's, like, much smarter than this girl, and this, like, nerdy schlub of a kid that's, like, secretly in love with Dora. So they all go on a field trip, and while they're on a field trip, they get kidnapped by this group of mercenaries who are trying to find Dora's parents, because Dora's parents know where Petapara, which is, like, the one of the cities of gold. I think it's, like, an Incan city of gold or something like that. And so that's, like, the crux of the movie, right? So it's basically, like, Jungle Cruise or Romancing the Stone or something, you know. It's like the bad guys are chasing the good guys through the jungle, through various, like, you know, like they capture them sometimes. There's this guy that tells Dora that he was friends with her mom and dad, and he was, like, an explorer with them, and he's trying to save them. Of course, he turns out to be, like, the leader of the villains, and they were just trying to get to the city. There's some hilarious, like, animated sequences. Like, there's a point where they all fall into a patch of magic mushrooms and get super high and, like, imagine themselves as, like, the cartoon characters, which is pretty funny. There's a really ridiculous part where, so Dora in the cartoon is always, like, singing songs, you know,
right,
to get her, like, there's the "Come on, Vamanos, everybody, let's go," and then, and, like, all that stuff. So she's always singing songs to try and educate people. At one point she sings a song about how you got to dig a hole in the jungle if you're going to take a shit, because you need to bury that poop. And it's actually a lot, it, like, that sounds really crass, but it's really funny, to the point where, like, the person that she sings it to, who's, like, initially offended, like, it cuts back to that person taking the shit in the woods, and they're singing the poop song to themselves. Anyway, like, I don't know how much else to say about it, except that it's really good-natured. You know, I like Michael Peña a lot. Like, yes, that dude, always really funny to me, and he's excellent here. Like, great timing. The kids are all really, and they're all, like, adults, obviously, so they're not really kids, but they have a really good rapport, and their timing is really good. And honestly, like, in the way that I like Jungle Cruise, I like this too, you know. Like, is it a great movie? No, but it's a really entertaining movie. If it would have come out when Frankie was, like, 9 or 10, we would have gone to the theater to see it and really enjoyed it. In the same way that we saw the SpongeBob movie and really enjoyed it. I don't know. I just think it, you know, it's got some funny moments. It's got some endearing moments. It's entertaining to adults without being grotesque. Like, there's not, like, a lot of sex humor or anything. It's just, you know, there's an innocence to it, at least with the Dora character. There's some really funny stuff with, like, what's his name? Danny Trejo is, like, the voice of her monkey.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point when it starts talking to her, it's, like, the most ridiculous, like, thing, like, hearing that deep fucking gravelly voice come out of him.
Right.
I can't remember who plays Swiper.
Bencio.
Oh, yeah, there you go. So whatever. Like, I would never tell you to go watch Dora the Explorer. But if for some reason you ever had to, like, babysit a kid, like a preteen kid, like, it would be a fine movie to watch with them.
Heard. When that scenario happened.
Right. Look, I'm not saying it ever would. I'm just giving you this advice in case it ever does.
I will remember this, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, in general, like, the first movie, and I watched it, and I think Frankie was a little horrified that I was watching it, kind of, like, what are you watching this shit for?
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, I really enjoyed it, and, you know, I wish that it had a sequel. I don't know how well it did, but nothing came after it, so that's unfortunate, but...
Yeah, made about $70 million, like, profit, like, in the box office. It pulled in 120.
Yeah, the problem is that it really came out, like, long past... I think the idea was to take people like Frankie's age, right? Like, take someone who 16, 17, 18 years old that grew up watching Dora as a child and bring them into theater under the nostalgia of seeing Dora. But the problem is that it's not the same nostalgia for something like Dora the Explorer that kids have for things like SpongeBob, right? Like, you might go see a SpongeBob movie, but Dora's so childlike and childish in terms of, like, when kids are watching it. Like, Frankie watched Dora when he was 3 or 4 years old, maybe. I don't even think he was watching Dora when he was 5, unless we just happened to catch it when it was on. So, it's unfortunate it didn't make more money, because I really did enjoy it, and I like the girl that plays Dora is really good, and she's does really well in the role. So
yeah, it looked like initially after this it looked like in 2022 they announced that there was going to be a live action television show in the same spirit as this that Paramount was going to put out, but now it looks like it is reverted back and is coming out sometime this year. To a new 3D like animation like version of Dora that will be coming out on Paramount. So,
well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Okay. So well, anyway, that's Dora.
Yeah.
On the chagrin scale, it's like I don't know. It's a 3. Like, there's no chagrin to it whatsoever. Again, not a great movie or whatever, but watchable and fine. And sure. I think if you have a connection to the character in the show, like, it's definitely something you might enjoy.
Yeah. No, so, it sounds fun. Yeah.
Let's talk about movie 2 that also has a map in it briefly a couple times. So you and I both watched this movie this week. And actually, I got some feedback from friend of the podcast, Zeke Lawrence, about this movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to give my opinion last, so I want to hear what you thought about it in general, and then I'll say what Zeke thought about it, and then I'll tell you what I thought about it.
So you want to know what I think about it?
So I'm going to say what it is and talk about, like,
yeah,
the general premise a little bit, and then, like, I want to hear your opinion first.
Mm-hmm.
So we all watched the 2024 reimagining of the 1980s classic Roadhouse. Well, I don't know, classic, but seminal cult movie Roadhouse.
Yeah, cult classic, yeah.
Starring Gyllenhaal, Conor McGregor, and some other people I don't know.
Right.
People that vaguely look like someone you may have seen in a movie before, but...
Billy Magnussen, who plays, like, the son, like, the villainous son, he's been in a lot of shit. Like,
And the guy that is in, like, all the Rodriguez movies and stuff, whatever his name is. The Hispanic guy that plays her dad.
Big Dick. Joaquin de Almeida, yeah. Or whatever, yeah.
So, the only real similarity this has to the original Roadhouse is generally about a guy who's a badass that's, like, protecting a roadhouse from some criminals. But that's really where the similarities stop. Like, everything else is pretty different about it. Gyllenhaal is, you find out over the course of the movie, an ex-MMA fighter who stopped fighting after a catastrophic incident in the octagon, I guess. Yes. I don't know what the fuck.
terminology, yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot so terminology.
He gets kind of convinced by this young lady to come down to the Florida Keys, again, another difference, to defend her roadhouse against what she describes as, like, I guess, like, thugs that keep coming in and disrupting things. He does. He beats a bunch of people's asses. Then you find out that there's some plot by this, like, rich kid that he wants to drive her away from the roadhouse. His father is in jail, and his father calls Conor McGregor's character to come and, like, beat, you know, this bouncer up and get rid of him. And it just kind of escalates from there, through a series of, like, different, like, fight scenes and whatever, with a romance shoehorned in, with this attractive young Hispanic doctor that he kind of falls in love with, and she falls in love with him, and then there's this intrigue, and then all these fight scenes, and the end of the movie is just kind of, like, ambiguous as to his fate, sort of, and but generally positive towards, like, the denizens of Glass Key. I don't know if that's a real place or not, but that's where it takes place. So I really wanted to stay as neutral as possible in the description of it, because I don't want to give away, like, my feelings, but I'm curious what your opinion was of this movie.
So I watched it and started it fairly late on Thursday, and my mind was pretty damn shot that night. So it was a kind of situation where I just kind of, like, sat there and watched it, like, without, like, doing anything. So it wasn't, like, my traditional, like, half ADD type, like, you know, I'm watching shit while I'm doing other shit and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I actually, like, took the movie in. And overall, I guess I liked it. Like, I thought it was a kind of proper reimagining, so it didn't rely too much on the original. And I don't have, I mean, I have some kind of nostalgia for the original for different reasons, but the original is a really funny and not very good movie. To me, like, it's right. Not like a cinema. It's like this, like, fun, stupid action flick that has inadvertently funny things about it too. But, like, so comparing them in terms of, like, their caliber of film, this is much better. Like, I actually think this is kind of like a real action movie, to some degree, without all of that, like, ridiculousness to, not that it doesn't have its own ridiculous, I guess, but I didn't find myself groaning at this movie, at all. Like, and, I thought Gyllenhaal was pretty good in it. I'm always a sucker for the guy who has to overcome his own fears, and then it's like, it's kind of like that Doctor Who stuff, like, in that, like, one thing where it's like, I was being kind or whatever. It's like, you find out, it's like, you know, he's trying to kind of, he's a little traumatized, yeah, but it's like, he's also trying to be nice, and it's like, because, like, when he, like, lets go, he'll, like, fucking, like, destroy people, and I like that kind of thing, as corny as it might be.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed, like, that kind of, like, turnaround or whatever. I liked, like, him developing relationships with, like, the people in Glass Key. That's not a real place, because I did, like, look it up. I'm assuming it's, like, some sort of a, what, like, Hammett reference maybe or something like that. But, although that doesn't really quite make sense to me completely. But anyway, I like the relationships that he develops with the people, with the people, like, even, like, the, I'm so tired of, like, romance subplots, but I mean, like, I thought that was, like, fairly well handled. It didn't make me groan, but I wasn't necessarily, like, raving over, like, you know, how it was handled. I thought McGregor was probably was fun, but fun in like a WWE like way, like not necessarily an actor way. Like it was like this gimmick.
Yeah. And what was up with his voice? Like, that's not what Conor McGregor sounds like.
Right, he's like putting on like some sort of yeah, that's what I said. It's like it's almost like a guy like doing a promo or something the entire time. Yeah. Like but so that's probably the most over the top and ridiculous piece of the whole thing, but again, like it's kind of fun. At the same time, like if you're not like expecting to take it too seriously. I thought the direction was fine. Like, I mean, that's one of the I'm surprised that like I found it so bland kind of a lot of times given the setting, and Doug Liman is a capable director usually. So I didn't find anything like necessarily too great about the direction of it. I like Gyllenhaal a lot though, in this role. Like he didn't bring anything special, but just good enough like to the role that like it made it seem like kind of a real person. Yeah, that's what I mean, overall, at the same time, I say all that, it's enjoyable. I also thought like it was kind of boring sometimes. Like it was not boring, dull. I thought it was dull at times.
There are dull stretches.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, I thought it was a fun action flick to just sit there and like not actually think about, like, cause you know, I didn't really think about it that much and I just took it in and I enjoyed it, I guess.
So Zeke's opinion was very brief to me, but he just said so bad, and then I told him my opinion, and he said the first Roadhouse is fun, new one had promise, but they didn't go at it right. So I'm not really sure. I didn't want to like press it anymore, but I'm not really sure like what he didn't like about it. But I was really surprised because so I completely agree with you. Like I just enjoyed myself the entire time I was watching it. Almost in spite of myself, because my first notion was that the movie was going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, it really annoyed the shit out of me early on, the way that they filmed the fight scenes with like that camera in motion shit with like following punches and like moving in and out, like around like the way the fights were going. Like I got hated you. It. Like it almost looked CGI, like watching, especially in the Post Malone beating up the fat guy in the beginning scene before you get introduced to Gyllenhaal.
Mm-hmm.
Just nauseating, I thought. And, like, really poorly conceived for... And this is coming from someone who's now watched probably, like, 700 kickboxing movies in the past, like, 6 months. That's an exaggeration. But I watched a lot of fucking fighting movies recently. And I can tell you that it's, like, the worst way to do it, kind of. Like, I just was not impressed. But I agree, I really like Gyllenhaal. A lot. I like the character and I like the way that he played the character. I thought it was a really great departure from the fucking like pseudo Western bullshit like spiritualism of Swayze's character in the original Roadhouse. I like the setting, you know, of the Keys. It's like beautiful, a lot of that stuff in the movie. I like the villains in it. I thought McGregor was really weird in his approach to the character, but I also thought that it was like kind of a bold choice just to try and build this, you know, like this memorable like heel with the idea that I guess like if you have future movies that you can bring him back and, you know, like kind of play off that sort of bond almost between the two of them, like where you get the idea that McGregor almost like likes and respects Gyllenhaal's character, and that's what makes him want to like kill him,
right?
Because they're like the same person or whatever. But yeah, I mean, again, the direction, I thought Liman's direction was overly reliant on camera tricks and CGI, because I really think a lot of those scenes are CGI'd and not like actual like physical or practical effects.
Interesting. Yeah.
I agree that there's like long stretches that are dull, and there's characters that are introduced and like there for a long time just for like a one line joke eventually, kind of, which was annoying to me because I like the actors that played like right. the two bouncers and the barista slash bartender. Like, I kind of would have liked to have seen more stuff with them, or maybe, or not seen as much with them and just like sped the movie along a little more. So one way or the other. I like the girl that played the love interest. I really, really like the flunkies, especially like the poor guy that gets his arm broken at first.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hilarious, like made me laugh every time he was on. And the guy who gets concussed, I thought was really funny too. Yeah, I don't know. Like I really liked
the guy that I mentioned earlier, Billy Magnuson, as the son. Yeah. You do know him. He's like one of those guys that just like shows up and shit, but it's like he was, what's that movie called, Ingrid Goes West, right? That was the Crush 5. Like, he plays the brother in that. And then Many Saints of New York, he's the one that played Pauly in that. And then he played Cato Kalin in the OJ TV series.
Well, I've seen all three of those things, so. What was I just about to say? He kind of reminded me of a poor man's, like, what's that guy's name? Bill Skarsgård or whatever. I don't know, whatever. I really enjoyed Dora, but this is like just under that, like middling, you know. Like, I had some problems with it, but for the most part, I had fun time watching it. And I was really surprised. I liked it as much as I did.
Yeah, same. I expected to find enough to dislike about it to not say I liked it. But no, I enjoyed myself watching it.
So if Dora was a 3, this is a 4. You know, like, it's on the right side of
Right side of chagrin, huh?
Right. Some issues. I would like to see a sequel to this movie, I guess. This is like the best way I can put it. I'd like to see Gyllenhaal get a chance to revisit this character in a different setting, but with, you know, whatever. I thought it was a good enough performance. I'd like to see more of it. So so let's get to the true.
I am agnostic, I think, on whether I care if a sequel, like, you know.
Yeah, well, happens, you'll still watch it when it comes out, so.
Yes.
Be agnostic all you want, there's still a god. And that god is Jake Gyllenhaal, I suppose, in this analogy. So the real chagrin of the evening is, I didn't even hate this movie, but it's not a good movie. And that's 2007. I didn't know this movie existed either, just so you know. 2017's Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, otherwise known as Pirates of the Caribbean, Salazar's Revenge, apparently.
I get all these confused. I think I've seen...
This is the one with Javier Bardem in it as the main villain.
Is this with their fucking kid or whatever? Like, Will and...
It's Will and whatever her name is. Thun.
Yeah, that's what,
and some woman who's an astronomer that for whatever reason keeps getting accused of being a witch. Okay. Although that really doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, like, I saw this when it came out, like, on streaming, and I forget it all, though, so it'll be nice to hear you tell me what happened.
So let me say this: if you've seen any other Pirates of the Caribbean movie, you don't need to watch this movie. Right. Because that's all this movie is every other Pirates of the Caribbean movie distilled into one long-ass fucking slog of just nothing. Like, just pirate tropes, but not even good pirate tropes, just dumb pirate tropes. And fucking monsters, because that's all those movies end up being. It's just fucking monster movies. So, the movie opens with this child, like, descending to the floor of the ocean to raise who's the fish face, Davy Jones's ship or whatever, the Flying Dutchman.
Yeah.
being piloted by Will, whatever, Orlando Bloom from the first three movies. Then it's Orlando Bloom playing this character. And you find out that he's cursed to be on the ship. I don't know if that happened in the previous movie. And his kid wants to save him. So, whatever. So then, flash forward. Oh, and he says he's going to get Jack Sparrow to help save him. And Will is like, Will Tanner, is that right? Did I get that right? Something like that. He's like, no, no, don't ever involve Jack Sparrow. So, flash forward, whatever it is, 10 years, and this kid is now, like, adult. And he's trying to find Jack Sparrow to get the Black Pearl so they can go save his dad. Because they got to get the Trident of Poseidon, I think, or Neptune. Somebody's Trident is in the ocean. And they got to get it because that's the thing that'll break all the curses in the sea. And that's the only way that they can save Will Tanner's life. So therein is your entire plot. You find out that there's this third or fourth instance of a bunch of assholes who are now like undead because Jack Sparrow is also an asshole, but he's just more lovable. So these ones are led by Javier Bardem. They were pirate hunters of like the Caribbean, but then Jack Sparrow as a, oh my God, one of the worst things I've ever seen in film history is a CGI'd de-aged Johnny Depp as like a teenage Jack Sparrow in his first command of the Black Pearl, where he like gained,
oh yeah,
the love of his crew, tricking Salazar and his men to go into the Devil's Triangle, which is basically like this fucking triangular hole in a rock, which doesn't even make any sense why anyone would want to sail through it, but that's what curses them, and they can never step foot on land again, and they're basically just like floating body parts. The CGI in that instance is really good. Like, it looks good, like these dead men or whatever, which hence the dead men tell no tales, blah, blah. But that's like the only good thing that's happening there. So, thrown into this mix for no reason other than the fact that you need some kind of love interest, is this chick who's an astronomer who's also trying to find Neptune's trident that keeps getting accused of witchcraft just because she like knows things. I don't know.
It's almost like it's 2024.
What's this actress's name?
Oh.
Hiya Sco Delario. Let me tell you this. I really liked her a lot, and I thought that she was not only pretty engaging as a character, but I don't know, I just found her to be like really charming, like as an actress. So that was my favorite part of the movie, was her. Although all she is deus ex machina to get like rescued by a man, even though the entire point of the movie is to prove that she's like a worthwhile foil to the men because she's so smart and like determined, but constantly just in like some perilous situation where somebody's got to save her, including a really inappropriate situation where she's going to be hung. And Will Tanner's kid, whose name I can't remember, like grabs her as she's like dropping down from the gallows and basically puts his hand in her vagina to catch her. Which is the implication, like during this, like, and I swear to God, it's like a like 2.5 minute exchange where she keeps saying, oh, that's not my bum, or oh, that's not my back, or whatever, like implying like your hand is in my nether bits. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so
problem.
Also, like, there's this plot that, like, obviously the East India Company, I guess, is what the villains are, or the British villains. So they're after Jack and Will Tanner's kid and this girl, and they keep running away from them. And Barbarossa, who's played by who is that, Jeffrey Rush or whatever,
it
is back in this movie as both a foil to Sparrow. But also you find out, like, again, like deus ex machina, that he is astronomer girl's like secret dad, and he abandoned her at an orphanage,
yeah, right,
because he wanted to give her a good life. So all these like fucking coincidence things happen against the backdrop of, I swear to Christ, like every other fucking Pirates of the Caribbean scenario that you've ever seen. Like, oh, here's some crazy natives of an island. Ah, they're so crazy. Oh, man, Jack Sparrow's drinking some rum. Oh, Jack Sparrow's like fucking somebody else's wife. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's some dead guys underwater. There's some barnacle face monsters underwater. Everything's underwater, and Jack Sparrow's got the black pearl. I don't know. Fuck it.
And Sparrow shakes his head like he's got the DTs and makes an incredulous face at some point. Like,
but you know what's really bad about it is like there's no personality to Jack Sparrow in this
movie. Right.
Like,
I remember thinking that. Yeah.
When I saw Pirates of the Caribbean in 2004, right, something like that, 2005, yeah, when that movie came out, I loved it. I remember like being so amazed, like telling you about how great I thought that movie was, because I think I stayed after work and watched it without you the first time I saw it, and I made you come and watch it with me, mm-hmm, like after, because I liked it so much and I just wanted to watch it again. And I think it's been diminishing returns ever since, right?
Absolutely. Like,
the second movie is fine because it's different enough, even though it's still the same thing. It's like skeleton pirate, and now it's like fish face fucker.
Yeah, you know? Second one might actually, from a movie plot, to me, be the best.
Oh yeah,
one.
Yeah. It's
like,
it's,
you know, but there's nothing like the first one because of first being exposed to the Jack Sparrow character.
Right, and being such like a. Before you knew anything about Johnny Depp being a fucking weirdo or whatever.
Right, sure.
So just really like an engaging performance and a unique character and a setting that hadn't been explored in shit, probably like Cutthroat Island. What's that, like 10 years before, 12 years before, something like that?
Yeah, so 95.
It's been a long time since there had been a mainstream pirate movie that was worth anything. And it's just...
Then the third one wasn't good. Like,
yeah, the third one's really bad.
And then
that's
the fourth one,
World's End, right?
Yeah, and then the fourth one that I can't remember with Al Swearengen.
I've never seen that one. I don't know what that one is.
That one like starts out like with a kind of promising premise, I remember thinking. This would have been like around 2012, maybe. It starts off with a promising premise, like where it almost takes, like, you might get some serious stuff with Jack Sparrow, and then it just devolves into the standard tropes and sucks. And then this one really sucked.
Yeah. So there's really nothing even to recommend about this movie at all. Like, aside, again, I think that lady's performance as that, whatever, the main female lead is really good. I actually think that Bardem... The problem is, like, you can't even call it acting because it's all CGI. So all it really is like a voice acting performance. And not to say, I mean, I think it's fine. And I think it's an interesting character if it hadn't already been done, like, twice before as the same exact fucking character. You know what I mean? Just with, like, a different, slightly different context.
Right.
Like, the idea of, like, this guy who's this vicious pirate slayer who doesn't realize that he's worse than the pirates he's killing, right? Like, that's an interesting character, but then you just make him cursed. And so the problem with, like, the fucking Pirates of the Caribbean curses is it basically takes the villain out of being able to interact with any of the core players on the protagonist side until there's some climax that requires it. And then they're just easily defeated. You know what I mean? Like, it's like 10 minutes later, the threat is gone.
Right.
So, like, there's no threat really ever at all. It's just a fucking vehicle to see Johnny Depp act like a goddamn, I don't know. I can't think of anything appropriate to say, so I'm not going to say anything at all.
In his defense, he was getting beaten by Amber Heard during this time period, so maybe that affected the performance.
All? So anyway, so that's fucking Dead Men Tell No Tales. And that's a really bad subtitle too, because it's too long.
Yes.
You already got to say Pirates of the Caribbean. Then you got to say Dead Men Tell No Tales. Like, that's way too many like words to be in a movie. Here's a funny anecdote. When I was working at the movie theater in, I guess when this came out, maybe. I'm pretty sure it was when it came out. Somebody asked for the Pirates of the Caribbean. And I mean, I couldn't make fun of the customer, but like that was like one of my favorite jokes for months after, because this movie was in theaters for a long time. Like, this is back in like the waning like era of movies being able to like stay in theaters for a long time.
All right.
Because people wanted to continue to see him and whatever.
I'd rather watch Pirates of the Caribbean than Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Oh, I know, right? That'd be amazing.
You know, I won't look it up. You know that the Pirates fan base online, like on some subreddit, you know that like they probably like when they talk about all these movies, they just like use acronyms. So you know on those communities, it's TMTNT.
That's really
good, right? It's gotta be.
Yeah.
Right. It was released as Salazar's Revenge overseas.
Yeah.
Which is a much better title.
Right. That's, well, the problem is that I guess they have some respect for like our European counterparts in thinking that, you know, they'll like just be okay with like the mystery of who is Salazar and,
right, you know,
why is he getting revenge, instead of like, oh my god, these Americans, they don't know who Salazar is. Like,
right.
They're never, oh, they're gonna be so confused. Gotta, but you know, and you know what else is really bad about this fucking movie? And I think I texted you this, like, without telling you what I was watching. They say fucking Dead Man Tell No Tales like twice specifically. Oh, yes. They say it once and then cut to the fucking title. So it's like, hey, remember what that guy just said? Oh, guess what? That's the movie you're watching.
Right.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. You know, I didn't hate this movie as much until just now when I started thinking about it. Like, I'm getting angrier and angrier about how fucking awful this movie is.
Good.
And I swear to God, like, I keep harping on this, but every fucking scene is just a greatest hits from a previous Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like the interaction with the fucking witch goddess, I don't know, sea hag thing, and the fucking, even like, and this is like the coolest effect in the movie. Salazar's ship has this like effect where it like comes out of the water and opens up like, I don't even know what you call it, like a centipede or something, almost like legs, and I guess like the spines of the ship's like belly, like reaching out like it's gonna eat, like just like collapse on top of a vessel and like eat it. It's actually pretty horrifying, like the couple times that you see it like in full effect in the scenes. And it really, all it is just like fucking the Kraken, and what is that, the second one or the third one, or whatever one
has, doesn't matter, because it's all the same,
right? And it just feels like exactly the same thing. So you've already seen all these things happen, and because you're already fucking bored as shit with the idea that like, oh my god, some dead dude that Jack Sparrow accidentally wronged because he's a fucking horny idiot and a drunk, like he sells his compass for rum, I don't know.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to use something that you said once to make an analogy to this movie. You and I were watching The Office years ago, straight, both of us, like straight through. And you brought up the point that what makes Michael Scott not a great character for the majority of the show is that he never actually learns from anything that happens to him.
Yeah, he gets frustrated.
Like, even if they let him learn in the smallest like sense of like in an episode, they never let him learn from episode to episode or more than like two episodes in a row. And I think it's because
he doesn't remember the thing that he learned.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's fucking these movies. It's like, if Jack Sparrow was growing as a character to the point where, like, by this movie, he's almost like some older mentor. Yeah. And there's somebody else that's like this idiot, like, young pirate or whatever. This is a much better movie. But it's like, this is like a 58-year-old man.
Right. It's one thing when you're still like kind of an asshole in your 30s, and then like when you're in your 50s now, you can't be an asshole anymore.
Right. The other thing too, I don't really have a problem with like nudity or the female form in movies. Like, it doesn't bother me. Like, I know that some people get offended by it, but whatever. I mean, I've been watching enough horror movies that boobs are just boobs. But there's something about the heaving bodices in these movies where every woman is just like her bosom, like being pushed out of some like bodice, you know, like
heaving bodice. Okay. Uh-huh.
It's just kind of grotesque. And it's like, bro, like, you're making these movies for like a child to teen audience. Like, you don't need to have like boobs all over the place. Right. Or maybe that's exactly why you feel like you need to. I don't know. But I'm sure it didn't help.
Yeah.
Anyway, so if you couldn't tell, this is a pretty high chagrin. I'd say it's like easily an 8.
Damn, that's really high. I will say that one with Ian McShane. That's the guy's name. The Ian McShane one, that's why I was really disappointed. The first like 20 minutes, I really thought they were going to like grow like a mature Jack Sparrow in that movie. And it was going to be like, you know, legitimately the past coming back to haunt him in like a real intangible way, to where he would have to like face some kind of recompense for like, you know, like what a fucking like immature jackass that he is. And albeit funny, like in those early movies, but it's like, and then they just like kind of like did away with all of it, and like it just became a standard movie. But it's like, you got this sense of like the end was coming in the first 20 minutes of that movie. Like, Jack Sparrow knew he was like running out of time, and was going to have to like face something, and then just it just was the same damn shit. Like,
right, no comeuppance,
right.
No consequence.
Yep.
You know, oh my God, there's another scene in this movie where Jack is going to get beheaded by a guillotine. And through a series of coincidence and events.
Yep.
Because his entire, like, I don't know, crew has turned on him at this point. He ends up, like, flipping around over and over in the guillotine with, like, the blade of the guillotine, like, coming perilously close to his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's so obvious and so lame that I just, there was nothing that was entertaining to me about any scene with Jack Sparrow.
Yeah. No,
and
I mean,
what? They rip off fucking Fast and the Furious 8 or whatever in it, where like they're robbing a bank, and the way they rob the bank is they tie fucking chains to the back of the vault and rip it out the front, and then they have to have this big chase scene, and it's fucking Fast and the Furious fucking Port au Prince or whatever. I don't know. Ah, God damn it. Why did I watch this fucking movie?
Because you knew it had a map.
I didn't. I assumed it had a map.
You assumed it had a map.
I was right. It did have a map several times.
Of course.
Anyway, I'm done. I'm done. Fuck this movie. 8. And I'm never watching any Pirates of the Caribbean movies again.
Don't.
I'm never doing it on purpose. Don't.
You don't say things that you can't like actually know you're going to not do.
Buddy, let me tell you something. I say this at work all the time. There's only one thing that I ever got to do in life, and that's die. So you may just like push me to it, trying to make me watch some goddamn Pirates of the Caribbean 4 fucking Jack Sparrow's gay parade, or I don't know
what. Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
Oh, that's right. I forgot they fucking changed the shit. There it is. Sheer. Such a worse design than it used to be. All right, let's go ahead and see what you get here.
Oh, I'm excited.
You just shove it in your fat fucking face. The category for next week is you just shove it in your fat fucking face.
That's a good quote. God knows what I'm going to watch.
Yeah, like it's endless possibilities of what you could shove in your fat fucking face.
I know. You got anything interesting this week to talk about?
Just shove it. Hold on. Let me just so I don't forget what the category is when you text me tomorrow. It's like, what was that category again?
It's gonna happen.
Did you watch the teaser for Fede Alvarez's new Alien movie?
No, I am holding off on it. I really don't want to. I'll tell you what I did watch the trailer for.
Yeah.
Was the new fucking Crow movie.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
Oh my God, talk about some hot fucking garbage. That thing looks terrible.
Is that it that's playing that character or something?
Yeah, it's Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah.
So when I first saw the promotional shots from it, while I wasn't a big fan of the look, if you're familiar with fucking pro wrestling, it's basically Darby Allin from AEW is what they've made this character. I still thought, okay, like, I'm okay with that because that's kind of like the modern aesthetic, and it still could be a good movie. Yo, that movie looks like trash. Like, it is...
Dude, Bill Skarsgård trying to level up into the A-list or some shit, like, by getting, like, built is funny.
Yeah,
because he's too fucking goofy looking to ever do that. Like,
right, and it's not even convincing. Like, the problem,
Bill Skarsgård is fucking in this movie. Jesus.
Yeah. So it's where we talked about, Roadhouse being like a nice departure from the original. This is way too tethered to the original movie in terms of like overall theme and plot. And there's a scene where Skarsgård and his girlfriend have been killed by the and they're submerged in some murky, dreamy, like afterlife, afterbirth fucking soup. And he gets pulled out, you know, because got to bring him back. The Crow's bringing him back, man, to exact his revenge. And it is the lamest looking fucking shit. Like, it's the most generic looking action shit. It's so much less personality than the original movie. And I don't think the original movie is perfect by any stretch, but it still has like this.
Man, Danny Houston's getting around, ain't he?
Yeah, he's in everything. It's got this, like, fun... I mean, it's, like, gothic, but there's also that element of, like, that 90s, like, cheese to it. I don't know, man. This movie has no charm. It's just so banal. And there's nothing that even... Aside from the fact that he can get shot a bunch of times, there's nothing mysterious or intimidating about him. Like, he's just lame. It's like fucking Jared Leto's Joker and what's his name? Eisenberg as Lex Luthor had a fucking baby, but that baby took all the worst traits from both of them. So I don't know. And I know that they can't have a baby together, but just bear with me.
It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. Darby Allin's a really good comp. I'd rather see Darby Allin in that movie than Bill Skarsgård.
He'd be more intimidating, and at least you could see him do a fucking coffin drop. But yeah, I was so disappointed. Really, and I'm not the biggest fan of The Crow, but I like The Crow. Like, and we watched it a couple years ago, I think, again.
No.
And it wasn't like I watched it a couple years ago. Yeah. And I still, like, enjoyed it enough, you know? I mean, I thought it felt kind of lame, and I don't think I'd mark out to it today in the same way, but from a nostalgia standpoint, like, it was fine.
Yeah.
And this movie, and the other thing, too, oh, my God. It's 100% fuck a studio and their goddamn fucking shared universe bitch-ass fucking sequel machine shit. Like, just make a movie that can stand on its own. And you know what it is? It isn't The Crow. Or your reimagining of The Crow with your fucking spindly ass Pennywise fucker.
Dude, Bill Skarsgård is too fucking weird. I mean, like, I don't know. I'd rather not see him ripped, like, in this, playing that role, as opposed to, like, this that whole look is, like, fucking weird.
They should have gone the route of, like, Christian Bale in The Machinist. Like, just let him be
right.
Absolutely, like, fucking wired and skeletal.
Mm-hmm.
So he's almost, like, inhuman when he moves.
Whatever. Like, that would have been... Probably trying to get, like, Marvel payday or some kind of shit like that, like, now.
Man, that payday don't even exist anymore.
What?
Anybody getting...
You're using Frasier principle logic here. Just because you're, like, tuned out and don't want to watch the shit doesn't mean that, like, you know, movies still aren't making money.
Yeah, you see Madam Web?
Oh, come on. That's like a Sony fucking movie, dude. That's not really MCU shit.
The Marvel's Lady movie didn't make any money, did it?
I mean, I think it did fine. You know what? I really just, while I looked that up, the female, like, his girlfriend or whatever... The actress, like, is FKA Twigs. And I was like, oh, that's got to be a musician, right? Or something. And it is, of course. Like, you know, but I'll be glad when I'm fucking dead. Jesus. FKA Twigs. That made me really angry seeing that name. What did this make? Yeah, not good. Not good. Really bad.
How much was
it made? Wiki's not a great place. Hold on. Let me go down here and see if I can get something like more to give me like a real thing. It grossed to $84 million.
Oh my God. It's so little.
Yeah. I watched it with Brandy a while back. I didn't think it was any worse than like that one, any worse than like the last like couple movies out of it. Like I probably thought it was a better movie than like that last Thor. And
was it better than Captain Marvel?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And a lot of it has to do with the young actress that plays Kamala Khan. What is her name? Iman Vellani. She's just so great in that role. And they teased at the very end of it, like for the post credit teaser of Young Avengers, that she's probably going to be like almost like the leader of. So that might be interesting, but it was much better than fucking Captain Marvel was. Like, I do not like that movie. I'm trying to think of any other trailers. Did you watch that Star Wars Acolyte trailer?
I did not watch that.
Okay, that's a boring fucking mess too. Like, that looks like just like the dullest fucking thing I've ever seen.
I've been avoiding talking about this because I find it really annoying that people are like, oh, it's woke. Fuck Disney, fuck Marvel, because whatever, that shit's lame. That's a lame reason to not watch something, and it's not even true,
right?
But dude, I'm done with fucking Star Wars. I think, like, I don't know that I can watch any other Star Wars thing ever and care about it. Like, I just don't.
What about the Mandalorian movie?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I didn't finish Ahsoka. you know, like I never.
No, I didn't watch. Yeah, no, I watched one episode of it, and we never went back. Brandy was extremely turned off by it and annoyed by it, and I did not like it the first episode.
I just thought it was way too long.
Absolutely. They stretch a lot of those things too long, but you'll watch second season of Andor.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's all there's going to be of that show. So they're wrapped. It comes out later this year, early next year, something like that. And that's the end of Andor.
All right. Well, then I take it back. Yeah. But it's going to be very circumstantial when I watch any Star Wars stuff anymore. How's that?
Sure. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for amending your statement, sir. I have been meaning to ask you, also, what do you think of the first Omen? I know you watched that trailer.
Oh my God. Imagine how angry I was watching that trailer. What do you think made me the angriest watching that trailer? That's my question for you.
Oh, I'd have to go back and watch the trailer again.
There was a part when I was watching that trailer where I said out loud, and I think I was maybe by myself. I don't know where Frankie would have been. I'm pretty sure I was by myself. We're just sitting here to no one. I said, are you fucking kidding me? Fuck this fucking movie.
Is it where they steal, like, the whole smile thing?
And what is the smile thing?
Oh, like, that movie Smile. Like, there's, like, a scene where, like, you know, like, the woman is, like, I don't know, doing something, like, being possessed or some shit. And, like, she basically does, like, the whole, like, thing from the trailer for Smile.
No. It's not that. I don't know what you're talking about.
I might be watching the wrong trailer too. I mean, who knows? There's like been 18 trailers for this fucking movie.
This is the first one I had seen, so
I don't know. Well, might not be the same trailer. What was your problem?
It's where they, number one, it's a bunch of fucking nuns. And if there's anything that I can't stand, is goddamn bunch of fucking nuns.
Oh, don't tell me.
Trying to be scared.
For... Yeah, okay.
It's they're standing in this courtyard and this fucking nun is like standing on top of a balcony and she looks down and she whispers, "It's all for you." And then like sets herself on fire or some shit. And it's like, "No, you fucking cocksuckers." Like, that's one of the best scenes in 70s horror, is the wet nurse like suddenly appearing on the balcony during the birthday party and yelling, "It's all for you, Damien," and then hanging herself. You know, it's like brutal and immediate. And the first time you see it, it's scary and it catches you off guard. And like, to just steal that for nothing doesn't even make any sense. Like, nobody cares that the bitch like kills herself. Like, it's stupid. I hate it. It looks so bad. There's nothing interesting about it.
Yeah,
you're not even like, you're telling, like, number one, they already fucked up making an Omen remake what fucking 20 years ago. Like, just let it go. Like, you don't need to keep doing it. You're never gonna do it as well as the original. Just shut the fuck up and stop making these movies. Let the Omen and the Omen 2 and the Omen 3 just stand on their own, and nobody watches Omen 3 anyway. And the first Omen, you know, it's, I know how you feel about it, but I love that movie. It's a great movie. I think it's really effective, really well filmed. And this movie looks like absolute wet, soggy dog shit, like smeared all over the screen. And I just, yeah.
I mean, it looks like a fucking Exorcist movie is what it looked like, a modern like Exorcist.
Yeah, but like a bad one. Like,
right. Oh, sure. Yeah. Right.
The Pope's Exorcist or the Last Exorcist or the Beginning Exorcist.
Damn.
Or...
Damn.
Or that fucking Leslie Nielsen Exorcist movie that I can't even remember the name of. Repossessed. That's it.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it definitely is called Repossessed.
Yeah.
Oh my goddamn movies.
Ned Beatty was in that too.
All right. Fuck it. I'm done talking about the goddamn Last Omen or First Omen or whatever.
I mean, the Last Omen is coming out in 2026. Hold on. Nuns trying to be scary was the phrase. Okay. Got it. Yeah, I don't think there's anything else
where nuns can be scary.
Yeah, what's that?
And they're scary. I don't know. There's a couple. The Devils, there's one. That's good, scary nuns, you know? The problem is, like, it, you know what? Fuck James Wan. That's the other thing, too. Because all this shit is his fault. Like, the goddamn fake scary nuns in The Pope's Exorcist. The fucking fake scary nuns in the goddamn nun. Like, all the fucking nuns. Nuns aren't scary, man. They're not. Like,
nuns is a weird word when you say it enough times.
Best nun movie of the past 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
The Little Hours.
Mm.
And they're novitiates anyway. They're not even full-blown nuns. So, you gonna write that down, fucking full-blown nuns? Let's go with your goddamn full-blown AIDS.
No, if those words had any different order, I would write it down. But full blown nuns, no. All right. So I think I'm sated, actually. With that rant. Next week we will be back with the category of
you just shove it
in your fat fucking face. Yes.
I do like that expression. I mean, not the shove it part, but fat fucking face. Because it's so full of self-loathing, because I've, like, looked at my own fat fucking face, and I've shoved so many things in it.
Right.
I'm doing a lot better about that, though.
Good. A lot of these categories did develop out of food chat from, like, the, like, 2023 food chat. Right. And that was certainly something that came from, I don't remember what it was that you said, you just shove it in your fat fucking face. But it was some food related item, obviously.
On the plus side, we never developed any categories out of poop chat 2017 or whenever it was.
We did not. That does not mean there's not a poop poop category potentially. And and then after tonight, next year there will certainly be a poop category. So because you need to bury that poop.
Oh man.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good week.
Deuces.